Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Welcome,
good morning,
everybody. This is now in January. This will be the Tuesday, just 7th. This will air, and we're working on a primer, what we call a primer of discerning God's will. Mm-hmm. As we've been discipling, you've been discipling, I've been discipling. Interesting enough, I would say that one of the trickiest things is, well, how do I receive and live out God's will? Mm-hmm. And it really fulfills, you know, what you've said, which is, hey, it's best and none better.
Right.
And people struggle with, well, exactly how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
And they can understand certain pieces of it. Like, I gotta surrender my will. Yes. Doesn't God give promises? Yes. What does my desires, where do they fit?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do I even know I'm on his will? And do I just get a promise and then wait?
Right.
Or is there more to it?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of confusion in there about how does that really play out? And as we've talked last time, is that, well, it has to be specific. And because it's specific, I want everybody to be thinking it's a path.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he keeps saying, I'll direct your steps.
Right.
It doesn't say, I'll just give you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we would like.
Or teleport you to the end.
Just give me the answer. I'll go there. A simple example would be, I deal with people that are, and you did this with Josh and Emily. They were looking for a new house.
Mm-hmm.
And in their heart, I would like to know God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had a desire. We have a desire. Everybody has a desire. Why don't you just tell me what house?
Right, right.
And I'll go there. And I'll know it's you, and then great, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and since you already know the answer, why don't you just save me all the time and just tell me? And God says, well, it's a path.
Right.
I do know the answer.
Right.
But I'm going to walk you into that place, and there's a discovery process to it. There's a relationship process to it. And there are things that happen along the way,
mm-hmm,
that you won't know which fork to take until you get to that fork.
Right.
And that's the way life is. And so, yeah, I need to show you that. So go ahead.
Yeah. And I think just remembering in that, I think sometimes we can get frustrated with that. And then recognizing the value again, that everything is an invitation to intimacy with God, right?
Right, right, right.
And
right.
that is why the step-by-step is the growing in intimacy with him, and the just wanting the answer, just skipping ahead to the end, really makes a very transactional relationship between you and God. That is almost more of a genie in the bottle, except that I'll just say, I'll trust you to do it. But, you know, tell me what it is, make it happen. Tell me what it is,
right,
make it happen.
Yeah.
And God is about the relationship. He always has been, always will be. And so that the step by step by step is the process by which we learn his character more. We learn to trust him more. He refines our heart more. It's the sanctification process. And as we know all of these things about him more and experience him more, we literally grow in intimacy and relationship with him. And just like you and I would have a pretty empty friendship as if all we did was exchange things and never journey in the midst of it all,
right,
that we would not want that with God, right? We don't want it to be a transactional relationship. We want the intimacy with the God of the universe.
That's right. Yeah. So there are truths about this and what he says. I want you to do understand where it is headed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important because it's not like, well, is his will going to be any good?
Right.
Is this going to be problematic? Am I going to wind up in a place that I hate? God says, no, it's going to be good. Let me give you some fundamental truth, and then we'll get into the specifics. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is what's the nature of this? So let's go to Jeremiah 29. 11 to 14.
Sure. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive.
Yeah. So he says, I know the plans that I, God speaking, have for you. So it's specific. He said, I do have plans. I do have purposes. I do have a path for you. And he says, it's going to be good and not evil.
Right.
Okay. The words there in the Hebrew is shalom. It's going to be shalom, favor, supernatural, the best, the exceptional. That's my plan for you. And the word evil, you know, isn't dark, awful, black. The word there is things that are going to irritate, frustrate, annoy, and cause you difficulty. That's not my plan, is to have you experience that. Now, by the way, we do know something. While I'm walking down that path, where am I walking? In the world.
Right.
In the world, I'm going to have what?
You're going to have trouble.
I'm going to have trouble. I'm going to have evil, things that annoy, frustrate, irritate, roadblock me, cause me difficulty. I'm going to have those. And then Jesus says in John 16:33, in the world, you're going to have trouble.
Right. But I have overcome the world.
But I've overcome it and receive my shalom. Because in the middle of that trouble, I'm leading you to shalom because of what my plans are to take you there in the middle of your adversity, in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of your big decisions, in the middle of stress. That's my plans for you. And it's to provide a hope in a future. Okay, now, interesting enough, when we say, hey, Kathy, I hope you have a good trip. Generally, what I'm saying is, I'm wishing for you a good trip. It may not be so, but I hope it is. Hoping means maybe yeah, maybe no. The biblical word for hope is certainty.
Oh, that's so good.
My plans are certain that I'll deliver the shalom to you. And I want you to have that hope. I want you to have that certainty. My plan is to take you there in the middle of your trouble and therefore give you a future and get excited about the future. So when you have an adversity and you have complications and you have things that are difficult and you're not sure, God says, well, I want you to be certain that it's going to be delivered shalom. You can trust me. And that gives you excitement for the future. So instead of saying, this is going to be bad, you say, uh-oh, looks like this is going to be bad, but God promised me to take me to shalom. I can hardly wait to see what he has to do about this.
So what do you have to say about this? Let's go.
So what do you have to say about that? Yeah, you see, the difference is that if I'm seeking his will, he says, seek it out of an expectation that you're going to see shalom. You're going to see the very good. Expect that. And he says, because of my commitment to the covenant. So go to Genesis 12, 1 to 3 as a starting point, though.
Sure. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Yeah. So the covenant, which is still existing, and we have a whole study on the covenant that is still is everlasting. And by the way, it's been given to Christ, who then gives it to us, that my plan is always to bless you, to make you a blessing. And it doesn't matter the circumstances you have.
Right.
Because nothing is too difficult for me. I can deliver this to you, and I want to deliver this to you. And it includes those that join you, and those that don't join you, they're going to be, you know, crushed with it. So you can trust it. I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. Okay, go to Deuteronomy 28 and just read verses 1 and 2. And by the way, Deuteronomy 28 defines a whole list of them. We won't go into them, but I would urge you to go read them, because he said this is what it looks like. Go ahead and read Deuteronomy 20.
Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God.
So he said, I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. We're going to see we have to follow. Interesting enough, in this verse, it tells us kind of a key to it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to hear what he has to say.
Right, right.
I can't follow what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I have to know specifically what to do. I said, I'll speak it to you. You follow me along that path. As you're walking on that path,
mm-hmm.
step by step by step, into the specifics, which I'll tell you, he says the blessings will do what?
Will literally overtake you. You're not chasing after them. They're chasing after you, basically.
Yeah. He says they'll come upon you from behind because of my promise to the covenant. Mm-hmm. And I need you to keep following me and don't chase the blessing, which is, by the way, what we started with, remember, yesterday in Psalm 106. They said, we forgot that you would bless us. We wouldn't wait for your counsel. And we wound up walking away from what you were going to give us.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, if you'd have stayed with me, I would have given you the blessing because that's my promise to you.
Mm.
They will come upon you. You stay with me. By the way, you can read the rest of 1 to 14, by the way. But and this is funny. There's 14 verses of here's all the cool stuff I'm going to do. Then he says in 15, by the way, if you don't follow, there's these curses that will come upon you.
Right.
And there's 60 verses of those.
Wow.
And I keep thinking about that as I'm seeking God's will is, hey, Linda, let's stay in verses 1 to 14.
Right, right. Let's stay in responsive obedience, not going our own way, right?
Let's hear what he has to say, and I got to have instruction, and let's expect it because he promises it. Again, he tells us a little bit of truth about it. So go to John, Jesus speaking, John 10:10. The thief comes to do what? And he says, but I've come to do what?
Says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Yeah. So he says in the world, which is under the control of the enemy,
mm-hmm.
he's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. You're going to have trouble because of that.
Right.
I don't pull you out of that world. I don't exempt you from them.
Mm-hmm.
But given that you're there and given that you're experiencing that, he says, you've come to do what?
I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly.
Yeah, super abundantly, exceedingly blessed. The seven exceptional things that God set up in the original intention before Adam and Eve fell is that I'm going to restore those. And I promise you, I will deliver that to you. I've come to give it to you.
Mm.
My will is to give you the covenant that the plans that I have for Shalom, the grand, the spectacular, that's my desire for you, and you can trust it. And it's one of those things it's hard to have people receive that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now think about that. How come people say, boy, you say that, but I don't really buy it. How come?
Well, one, because they're not living it. So they're not experiencing it, and they're not seeing other people, other Christians even, experiencing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like it just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that you're kind of pie in the sky. And is this the prosperity gospel?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know about that because I see a lot of people having trouble. And I said, no, it's not the prosperity gospel because it's not just financial blessing, which is really the prosperity gospel is if you do mm-hmm. certain things, you get to get money. This isn't about money. He says, I want to give you answers to your issues that will be spectacular,
mm-hmm.
and I will deliver it to you. And I believe that's part of the mission of our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Is first of all, Linda and I have to live it.
Right.
The people that we invited to become leaders have to live it. And if they're not living it, then they haven't learned how to walk into God's mm-hmm. will. But as they do, what can you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And you experience
nothing
all the time.
Too different for God. And I know the stickiest situation you got. And when I disciple people, I'm usually discipling people that have super, super sticky situations.
Mm-hmm.
And their attitude is, I don't think this can be resolved. And I say, I know that's how you feel, but there's nothing too difficult for God. He will deliver to you this abundant life. Mm-hmm. Go to Psalm 65:11. There's just a cool statement about that. Psalm 65:11.
Sure. It says, "You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance."
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
The year that you have is set up for goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a path. My role is to walk on that path this year.
Right.
By the way, these are verses that we're gonna, if you didn't hear New Year's Day devotion, actually we're using a couple of these verses as a setup of, hey, this is what we want your year to look like. But it's like, I have the year and I'm supposed to walk on a path this year, and it drips with what?
Goodness.
With goodness.
Goodness and abundance. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be good if you have a heart to receive it. Now we keep saying and remembering. Does that mean I'm not going to have any trouble? Doesn't mean that.
Nope.
We're going to have trouble. We're going to have sticky stuff happen to us. We're going to have difficult things. We're going to have surprises that, oh man, I wish that wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, that's okay. I can still keep you on that path, and it'll drip with abundance if you have a heart to stay in it. By the mm-hmm. way, what? It's got to be specific. I got to be on that path. Okay. And then he kind of encapsulates this with Ephesians 2:10 as a promise. What does he say?
Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them."
We are his workmanship. So we are being made by him, fulfilling his purpose, being transformed. And the purpose is for the good works. And who defines the good works?
He does.
He does. And so, interesting enough, it's not you going working for God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this for God.
Hmm.
No. It's rather, let me deliver good things to you along the path. Your work is to go with me.
Right.
And by the way, because of the covenant, think about this. I'm going to bless you to make you a what?
To make you a blessing.
Will you be asked to give it away?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So you'll be involved in the giving it away to other as a definition of the blessing part of it.
Mm.
It's a flow through process. So
absolutely.
will that engage in good works? Yeah. But the good work is really joining him in his work.
Right.
Which is going to be good.
Talk about that just a little bit, because I do think this is a point that people struggle with, because they'll see a good work as any work that is good or Christ centered and not necessarily something that is specifically Christ directed.
Right. Yeah. Because this is where the church really fails, because it's trying to recruit you. We have a need, we have a committee, we have an activity, we want you to.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please sign up and do a good, what they would call do a good work?
Mm-hmm.
I deal a lot with missionaries. A lot of motivation that missionaries have is, I need to go to a place and spread the gospel to prove that I can do good for God.
Mm.
And I'm going to. And isn't that honorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, first of all, your heart is honorable for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, we are to spread the gospel. We are, some of us are called to be missionaries to a different place. I said, now, particularly as they're there, I ask a question. Are you enjoying what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the answer is no.
Right.
I'm miserable, or my kids are miserable, or my marriage is in big trouble and we're falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, maybe you've decided what you thought your good work was, to go work for God and do something honorable, but God didn't actually ask you to do it, or he needs you to do something different right now.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because the priority for you is the covenant.
Right.
Okay, now think about the covenant. In order for me to be a blessing, I have to be what?
Blessed.
I have to be being blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So am I being blessed to give it away out of the freedom of the life that I have? If I'm doing it out of duty, basically I'm running on empty.
Right. And you're doing it, when you're doing it out of duty and not out of God calling and inviting you to do it, then you're also doing it without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit.
Without the
And so there
the
will
power.
Be no fruit.
Exactly.
Or not good fruit anyway.
And there's not fulfilling what God has in mind. And so, as God instructs you, is you join me. And by the way, he says, my perspective on good works and fruit is way longer than yours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about what you immediately do. It's, are you on my path for me to, so that, for example, if a couple I'm dealing with, and they can be very active in church, but their marriage is really in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, okay, let's go talk to God about that.
Right.
And all the things you're doing, are you spending time together? No. Okay, well, let's reorient that. God, what do you have to say about that? Well, I would like you, and it's not me telling them this. This is, mm-hmm. it's them walking through hearing from God, is what you've defined as good work isn't really a good work because you're not having any fruit. Why? Because you have to have fruit out of your marriage first.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? I want you to get out of this stuff. And I want you and your spouse to start spending a lot of time together, working together, right. learning what it means to walk in unity, receive my will, have joy, have peace. And then, don't worry, I'll call you to certain things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it's a flow through. And so as you say, it's not my deciding what I'm doing. Even what we would consider to be good thing or
right.
good work may not be any work. Because mm-hmm. God hasn't sanctioned it and ordained it.
Right.
And like, for example, when we were developing our ministry, Linda and I, and we were doing retreats, and it was starting to grow because by word of mouth. And by the way, why did it grow? Because people started recognizing that I can live out God's plan.
Right.
And it's good. And they
it was
started
simply
to say,
a demonstration of his faithfulness,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and people said, hey, what happened to you? Well, I'm experiencing the goodness, the good plan of God. Hey, could I do that too? Yeah, sure. You know, mm-hmm. and so they would come to retreat. And God said, okay, get ready. It's going to grow in a big way. And I want you to get ready to build a new retreat home, but it's going to really grow and get ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I heard that, we received it. Now I had lots of opportunity right after that to get active in church stuff.
Right.
Including ministry stuff, you know.
And good things, right?
Really
very
good, thing.
Good
and I,
things.
And I was able to, I had the ability to do it. But God mm-hmm. had said, I told you what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's my work. The answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's not a good thing. Other people will join that. But,
right.
but for you, if you do it, you'll actually move away from my good work. And you won't have
right.
the energy to do what I'm about ready to do, which
right.
now is 24 couples around the world doing retreats with 29
right.
courses. And he said, look at the fruit of, because you were obedient to join me in my good work
mm-hmm.
and not you decide to go do something else.
Right. And that what you're talking about there too, so often the struggle that people hit in this is really the fear of God versus the fear of man.
Right. Right.
Right. Because there is, even when we hear something clearly and we're like, oh, we know this is what God wants us to do. There's this little voice that's telling us, oh, but if you don't do this, nobody's going to do it. Or somebody, you know, that person's going to be so disappointed in you if you don't. And they expect you to do this because you're gifted in all of these things that play into who am I serving? Am I
right.
serving man or am I serving God?
That's
am
right.
I truly trusting that what God tells me to do and to not do is exactly what is best for what his plan and purposes are?
Exactly right. Yeah, well said. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have good plans for hope and a future, plans for to give us the goodness that you have already planned, the covenant. You're going to bless us to make us a blessing. Your paths will drip with abundance, will drip with blessing. And our role is to receive it because you've already prepared for the path for us to be on. Because you even said it, I've already prepared for you to walk on to the path that I have for you. And so we pray that we'll understand it's a path. We understand that you have to specifically show us the way. And it's your coming as to where we go and not ours. And we thank you and mm-hmm. praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. Having so much fun in this conversation with you.
Yeah.
If you have questions about today's broadcast or anything we've been sharing the last couple of days as we dive into this, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.